Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September the 9th, 2017. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press, love to hear your comments. And if you're trying to get in the chat room, give me about 30 seconds and I should have it up. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. They're in hinterlands up in the upper peninsula of the great state of Michigan, where we'll be starting a series of workshops on Sunday morning. Actually, we'll do the Sunday service at Unity in Lansing, and then in Sunday afternoon, we'll be doing a Sunday service at a second location, and that's the fellowship for today. And then Sunday evening, I believe it starts at 5 or 5:30, we'll be doing a workshop on A Course in Miracles. So we'll hope that if you're in the area, you'll be joining us. We'll be continuing at Unity on the Sunday night workshop is actually at the fellowship for today. You can pick up the flyers for everything we'll be doing in the next, let's see, I guess we're here for about 6 or 7 weeks in this Michigan area. So you can find us on www.whyagain.org. And up near the top on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a link that says flyers. If you click that, it'll tell you all about it. So we're in two different locations this week, actually doing several different events. Next weekend, we'll be doing a Course in Miracles event at the Unity Center in Lansing. We'll complete there on Saturday, and then we'll head to Unity of Ada, or Grand Rapids. It's kind of a suburb of Grand Rapids, the town of Ada. And we'll be spending a full week there doing Sunday service, and then Why Is This Happening to Me Again on Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing all day Saturday. Then we'll get on our horse again Saturday night after the Still Point Breathing. We'll head to Muskegon. We'll be doing a full week of workshops there. Then we've got a week or so to get prepared for a 16-day codependence to interdependence communication practicum that we'll be doing back in Williamston, just outside of Lansing, a suburb of Lansing. So we'll be at Michelle's home doing a full week there. Or pardon me, a full 16 days. It will be possible. Preference will be given to people who are doing the whole 16 days, but it will be possible to do a 9-day segment of that on the codependence, or the 9-day segment on the communication part of it. And in that series, we'll be doing, of course, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Healing Through Relationships, Codependence to Interdependence, Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So lots happening. You can catch the flyers on our website. We're delighted that you're with us, and we're here to engage in this healing conversation about forgiveness. Yeah, it's interesting. You go back 2,000 years ago, and this man Yeshua says, the power of life and death is in your words. And if you study his teachings, if you engage in the work that he suggests in his original Aramaic language, you'll find yourself experiencing a veritable feast. And it will be a feast of words, a feast of healing words in a culture that's brainwashed in disease. You know, literally, every word represents a frequency, a vibration. And if we listen to Einstein tells us, quote, he says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations limit so lower as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So you don't have a material body, you have an energetic body. And the energies that you engage in are urgent to your health. And we live in a culture that consciously, purposely brainwashes us to disease, to death, and to suffering. If you doubt that, I invite you to do a little exercise. You can engage in some double-blind research. You can invite somebody else to do this exercise. And here's what I guarantee. Every person who engages in this exercise will produce precisely the same result. I posted a picture, or actually a short video, on my Facebook page yesterday. If you're not connected with me on Facebook, go ahead and send me a friend request to J, as in James, M as in Michael, _ RYCE, or as in Jeannie and Michael Rice. So JM _ RYCE. Send a friend request, but the video that I posted was one where there's a small child who's probably, looks like maybe he's 18 months or so. And he's laying on a bed with another smaller child, a young baby, maybe a couple of months old. And this older child has a deformity where he has no arms, just has stubs that are just above the elbow. And the video shows him looking over at the small baby who's crying, and there's a pacifier laying between them. This little guy can't reach over because he has no hands. So what he does is he kind of rolls over, takes his little stub of an arm, and takes hold of the pacifier between his face and the stub of the arm, and he moves toward the crying baby. He somehow is able to turn the pacifier so that he's able to put it in the baby's mouth. Again, he doesn't have hands, so he has a little difficulty doing this. But between using his own lips and this little stub in the arm, he gets a pacifier in the baby's mouth and smiles. And it's just such a naturally sweet video of human life. And when I watched it, the thought that came was, why does anybody tell a child that they're anything different than that? And it's done with words. Here's the piece of research to do. I invite you to take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, draw a 1-inch margin down the left-hand side of the page, turn on the television set, sit in front of the tube, and don't spend any more than 3 minutes on any station. Turn it on, sit in front of the tube, and start listening. Every time you hear a word that actually represents love coming out of the speakers on your television set, every time that you hear a word that represents that thing called human life, you know, and if you watch this child, you really get to see what love is, what human life is. Every time you hear a word that's based in love coming out of your television set, put a check mark on the 1-inch column. And every time you hear a word that's based in hostility or fear, put a check mark on the larger part of the page. I guarantee that you or anyone else who does that exercise. If you just randomly, no more than 3 minutes on any station, randomly switching from station to station to station, you'll fill pages with words based in hostility or fear before you'll get one column, one one-inch column filled with check marks based in love. And for me, that just speaks of, you know, something. It's kind of like, you know, we swim in this environment of words, and most people don't really think of it very much. But we're brainwashed with words to believe ourselves to be beings of hostility and fear, destined to die. Now, there's an interesting parable that is told of Yeshua. And there's a feast. And he invites everyone to the feast, all the important people. But all the important people have something better to do, something more important to do. You know, I have to go and take care of my banking business. I have to go into a feast. I have to go to a wedding. I have to. And so the people who are so important, engaging in their words of the world, don't have time for the feast of a healing conversation. And it's interesting when you talk to people about doing their work, the most common piece of resistance that we hear. In fact, Rex and Michelle did a series of workshops in Ionia Prison. Jeannie and I went in there a couple of years ago when we were here and started off a series, and they continued it right on up into doing the Laws of Living class, which they actually extended out, I think, was better than a year. And the admission, there was an 8-week series that came before they started Laws of Living, and the cost of admission for somebody to Laws of Living was that they would do 5 worksheets a day. And to a person, these guys were in this super security prison where they're locked in their cells 23 out of 24 hours, said the reason that they couldn't do the 5 worksheets a day, which was their entry fee into the Laws of Living class, to a man, they were too busy, locked in their cells for 23 hours. What conversation do you suppose they were engaged in? This show is about moving in the direction more and more and more of switching the conversation. Yes, addressing the real issues of the culture, but shifting it into a conversation about healing and well-being. You know, we have a pretty awesome disease care system in our culture. Billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars are spent in the treatment of disease. Almost nothing based in healthcare. If you talk to many doctors, if you talk to the average doctor about why they're not doing healing work, it's because they're too busy treating diseases. Now, I'm not saying don't ever treat a disease if you've got one, but I question whether they need treats or not. But if we were to have more engagement in a healing conversation, that is, teaching people words that reinforce the literal vibration, frequency, and energy of who and what they are, the presence of that state of being would overcome virtually every disease and put an end to the disease conversation. But when somebody convinces us that the way you deal with this disease is you have the right pill, and it's interesting, these pills stop internal conversations. The real downside and the reason why every pill, when you listen to it advertised on television, has a whole disease conversation that goes with it is because pills cause diseases. Every drug is a disease disguised as a cure. And when we put a pill into a structure to impact a cell, the only way it can impact that cell is if there's a receptor site that will receive the chemical that is designed to land on that receptor site. So drugs mimic what's going on in the body naturally. But each time the body produces a molecule that matches one of those receptor sites, along with that molecule that the body produces, is information in the molecule that tells the cell what it's supposed to be doing. These receptor sites are designed for cell-to-cell communication. You know, imagine that you had a community of 100 trillion people. And what you did is you put a muzzle on them all and stopped them from communicating. How well do you suppose that community is going to function? Well, you have a community in you of 100 or more trillion cells. And in order for them to function, they have to communicate. Every time that you put a chemical in place of communication, you block the possibility of that cell receiving communication. And that's why, along with every drug, you know, after they've planted the seeds, listen to the conversation about disease that every drug has, and then listen to the conversation about disease of all the different diseases that are going to develop as a result of using that drug. And know that the reason is because there are receptor sites through every part of the body. They're finding receptor sites for neuropeptides, they thought, and they were originally called neuropeptides, brain peptides, but they aren't just in the brain. They're in the immune system. They're in the liver. They're in the lung. They're in the heart. They're in the pancreas. They're in the adrenals. And so when you flood this system with a chemical, you block all conversation between the cells. That's why there'll be a drug that's designed for one particular disease to put in a chemical that's supposed to balance the body, but that drug floods the receptor sites through all the systems of the body. And so you hear of so-called side effects, and they're not side effects at all, they're diseases. You hear those diseases described because when they're flooded, other cells that are supposed to be receiving information from the internal communication system have the receptor sites blocked by the presence of this massive amount of the drug. You know, inside of the system, the system, when it needs to communicate a particular piece of information, might shoot out micrograms, millions of a gram of what appears to be a chemical but is actually an informational molecule. And it lands on a receptor site, perhaps in some cases. You know, they used to think that the brain was this little mechanical thing and you had this synapse and this, you know, it just shot right across the synapse. But that's not accurate. They've been doing lots of brain studies and studies throughout the structure, and they're seeing that these molecules, these communication molecules, operate at sometimes quite a distance, inches away in the brain, not just, you know, a millimeter away. But if the receptor site is blocked by a chemical that mimics the communication device that the body uses, the communication molecule, then the cell that's sitting there saying, hey, tell me what's happening over there. Let me know what you need. 3 inches away in the brain, a cell shoots out a microgram of information that's designed to land on the receptor site on the other side of the brain, but that receptor site's blocked up by a chemical, an artificial, something that's never been seen in the body, something that doesn't carry the information that's needed. So that cell can't function properly, can't do its job, and so now we see diseases developing. So recognize the kind of conversations that you spend your time engaged in. You know, I hear people who tell me, well, you know, I understand you have a radio show every day and it's all about healing, but you know, I'm so busy. I have to spend my hour and a half listening to the news. And of course there's my favorite television show. And then, you know, we're going to watch this movie tonight. And well, you know, we've got. And so often people are just too busy, too much going on, engaged in a culture brainwashed into disease processes. Every piece of information that you engage in, if we listen to Max Planck was receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics, and this is information that's been known for over 100 years. This quote from Max Planck goes back to when he was receiving the Nobel Prize, I don't remember what year, 1901, 1900, something like that. And Max Planck, as a physicist, says, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much, there is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another. If there's a dis-ease process going on, you've engaged in a vibratory field and nested in your structure what never belonged there. Excuse me. Inhale a little bit of water. And so show, and we're down up to about, oh, I think 1,800 or so hours in the archives. Excuse me, I had to clear that water out of my throat. Every hour is about engaging in a healing conversation, about building the brain cells for how this energy system works, for the different qualities of nested frequencies that the world offers us, and how we indiscriminately intercourse with all kinds of frequencies that become nested within us, and we conceive according to those frequencies we've engaged in. If they're based in sadness and grief and rage and hatred and vengeance and gossip and slander and condemnation, then each time we're putting information into the structure, they're showing in the cell biologist laboratory that when you think a thought, that thought produces a molecule called a neuropeptide. That neuropeptide lands on a cell and communicates to the cell by turning into chemistry in the cell, inserting itself as chemistry, and literally becoming what we call the chemistry in the cell. It's really information. When we look at a chemical, what we call a chemical in a cell, because there's no matter, there's no such thing as a chemical, what we're really looking at is the vibratory pattern that's inserted in the cell. And if the vibratory pattern is uplifting to the cell, then the cell moves into a healing state. If the vibratory pattern is threatening or destructive to the cell, then the cell moves into a disease state. Forgiveness allows you to decompress these neuropeptides of disease and remove them until there's no such thing flooding them any longer. If you indiscriminately engage in the conversations of the culture, go back and look at the results of your research. You put check marks on a page. You watch television for an hour, 3 minutes on a station, and you put a check mark for every word that represents love and every word that represents disease. What's the predominant resonant energy that you took in those conversations? And they are frequencies that nest within your structure, every one of them, when you engage them. Now, if you choose to utilize those conversations to show you what you're holding, what's already been nested in you of that nature, and you choose to forgive as to the nature of those conversations, can begin to uplift yourself into a healing state by recognizing every time that a dis-ease energy moves in you, that you have something in you that is of a dis-ease nature. And when you apply forgiveness, you begin to remove those frequencies, those nested frequencies that Max Planck was talking about. And as you remove the nested frequencies based in hostility or fear, the cell changes chemically from the dis-ease condition to a condition of ease or health or well-being. And it all starts, if we go to the opening words in the book of John, we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, but not what it says at all. It says, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. You think a thought, the thought produces a molecule, a nested frequency, inserts itself in the cell's chemistry. Choose to forgive, you literally decompress that from its compressed state that looks like chemistry. You take it back to its state of thought. All of a sudden, you're in touch with what the thought was. You're able to decode it, and you're able to change that frequency. That's the healing conversation we're looking to engage in. And so that's the purpose of our show. That's the purpose of 18. You know, if you want to really engage in healing conversation, go back and start to listen to the archives. Something close to 1,800 hours of conversation about this healing process. In the meantime, if there's any way that we can support you in a healing conversation, if you've got a disease loop, disease conversation going on within yourself that you're having trouble breaking, then we're here to support you in doing that. We're here to support you in understanding how to use the tools that Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago that we present to change the game. And so we're honored that you're here to be part of this conversation today. And Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us?
He was with us and he has, oh, wait, he's back and he is on. Hi, Dr. Tim.
The man is back. Hey there, young man. How are you?
I'm good. And
awesome.
How
are the healing conversations going in your world?
Well, beautifully. We had a support group last night, and at one point somebody was asking about some of the work I do, and we started talking about the neuroemotional technique, which is an energy technique that was developed by a chiropractor, and it uses the acupuncture meridians. And I found myself telling the origin story of that, which was that the chiropractors will often have somebody come in who's got pain in their neck or their back or their hip or their whatever, and they'll do what they know to do physically, and it relieves the discomfort and things line up, and then the patient leaves, and somewhere between an hour or a day and a week later, things are out of whack again. And so this one chiropractor decided that there must be some energy system other than just the physical energy system going on, because he's done all he can within the physical energy system, but the adjustments he was making weren't holding. So he started researching and found out about acupuncture meridians and how they feed not just the physical functions, but also the thought and emotional functions. So we had an idea, and he said, the next person who came in with a, you know, whiplash from a car accident, you know, discomfort in their neck, he said, now, we're going to adjust this and see how it holds. And he adjusted it, and she felt better, but it didn't hold. An hour or two, a day or two later, it went out of whack. So then he said, now, before we do the adjustment, let me have you tell me a little bit about what were you thinking about just before this accident. And then he would do the adjustment, and it either held or it didn't help. And then if he had to do it again, he said, now let me ask you to think about what you were thinking and feeling right at the moment and right after the accident. And they would think about that, and he would make the adjustment, and it would hold one way or the other, either when they were thinking about what was happening in their mind right before the accident or right during or after the accident. If they focused on the mind energy, which had all the emotional energy to it, when the adjustment was being made, then the adjustment would hold. And that's how he got into developing this entire system for the neuroemotional technique, which uses muscle testing and acupuncture meridians, etc. So I told this story in the group last night, and one of our members said, "Oh my God," because she's had shoulder neck pain that's been recurring for years. She had it like some kind of a childhood injury, but then she had a car accident when she was an adult. And my words about this story started to resonate for her, and she said, "I can't believe you're saying this, because in the past week or so, the pain in her shoulder had come back," and she was relating it to a couple of interactions she's having with people that are emotionally charged in her life today. But then when I told that story, she recognized that one of the people that she was having interactions with in the past week was also yelling at her right before the accident. And she was blown away to make that connection, to see here's this recurring muscle tension, cramping pain that has been going on for years. And the only thing that she's ever really done that's made a difference is a relaxation technique and some of the energy technique that we're talking about. And now she's making yet another deeper level of connection about the energy, the mental, emotional energy that she's carrying in the tissue in her shoulder and her neck that can get triggered when she's got upset that's been triggered today. So, you know, it's a nested energy that she's carrying in her shoulder that she still hasn't gotten the roots of dismantled, and now she's got another insight into how to do more worksheets on that and how to do more mind shifters on specifically relating to what was happening right before the accident, rather than just focusing on the pain that she's got and thinking, oh, I have this pain because I had this injury as a child and then I had this car accident, so of course I'm just going to have this pain from time to time. So that's my offering for today, that this stuff is always connected, that everything, our mind and our bodies are not separate. We talk about them with separate words, but they're the same stuff. It's energy. And the more we can be willing to see and understand what we're carrying and hiding from ourselves, the more option there is for healing, integration, release, whatever you want to call it. So that's my offering.
Awesome. Fabulous. Right on track. And, you know, if we tie it back and, again, think of these opening words in the book of John, in the beginning was the mind energy became flesh. Go back to this being yelled at by someone and how the forgiveness process works to carry one through that is that, let's say I'm in a situation where I'm being yelled at, and that resonates the part of me that was injured, and the yelling was going on as my neck was being injured, and all of a sudden my neck starts to tighten up, and I realize that's happening, and I'm being yelled at, and I don't like being yelled at. If I stop in that instant and I look at, let's see now, if this person were behaving the way I really want them to behave, what is it they'd be doing? And maybe what I'd be wanting from them, the goal that I'm holding for them would be, well, what I really want them to be doing in this situation is reaching out and gently taking my hand and nurturing me. And so when I realize that the goal to be held and nurtured is driving my perception at the moment, and when I load that goal, it resonates that old thing of being yelled at, and that energy's locked in my neck and shoulder, and all of a sudden my neck and shoulder start to hurt. When I cancel my goal to be for my hand to be held and to be nurtured, the perception, the energetic movement that takes place as a result of that goal that generates my perception and the state of my physiology, literally the neuropeptides moving and the so-called chemistry moving in the cell, as I cancel that, all of that collapses. And when it collapses, it collapses in on itself. So I've got a keyway right into exactly the root of what it is that I need to deal with. You know, for those who are involved in the Course in Miracles, there's a line that says, you know, your part, there's a part you have in the forgiveness process, and this is it. And it says you must return your mind to the moment at which the offense occurred. Well, gee, I could sit around on the psychiatrist's couch for 25 years trying to figure that one out. You can't figure it out. But if I look at the goal that's driving my perception at the moment, it will take me precisely to the place where that occurred. And to the degree that I'm willing to go there and allow it to surface, when that perception collapses in on itself, it goes right to the root of the disturbed energy. And when that disturbed energy is given a pathway to come to conscious awareness, even though I may not become fully cognitive of it, when I allow myself to become aware of what's going on there, and as you remember in step four in the wake-up sheet, you brought love, conscious, active, and pleasant present to that space before you cancel the goal and collapse the perception, then the underlying energetic dynamic is allowed to surface. Love is conscious, active, and present. And when those two things meet, healing occurs. So that's how this fits with the forgiveness process, even in the case of something like seemingly as so-called physical as an accident and, you know, the resulting pained neck or shoulder. Any thoughts to add to that, Tim?
Well, the only thing, other thing that came up was we were in the discussion last night. I was talking about the validation that comes from so many different places, and one of them is Dr. John Sarno, who used to be a surgeon, used to do back surgery, and now he doesn't do surgery anymore, but because he's discovered that out of 2,000 sets of scans, x-rays, etc., where they have all kinds of curvature of the spine and arthritis and bulging discs and pinched nerves, etc., only 35% of those people have any pain, any discomfort, or any restriction in motion. So he was forced to conclude that those things on the scan, the arthritis and the bone spurs and this and that, the subluxations, are not what's causing the pain. And then, as he furthered his research, he discovered that the slightest bit of restriction of blood flow and oxygen to human tissue is enough to initiate pain. Well, so what happens when I resist something and I say, oh, I don't want this to happen? I tighten, I clench my jaw, clench my fists, hold my breath. In that process, I'm literally restricting blood flow. And if I do that long enough, or if it happens at just the right time with an intense emotional energy, and I restrict the blood flow or the oxygen flow to a particular tissue, that's enough to cause the excruciating pain that I then think has a physical cause, and then I run off to the doctor or I run off to the physical therapist and massage therapist and the hot and cold and the electrical stim and all of these things, further convincing my mind that the pain is caused by a physical disruption that's got a physical, you know, something physical was initiating it, and so the solution has to be in the physical manipulation, rather than recognizing, oh, wait a minute, there really isn't any physical, it's all an energy system. And so one of the things that he recommends people do is just feel the neck pain, the back pain, the shoulder pain, and talk to it and say, okay, I understand that you're there as a signal that there's something going on that I don't want to look at, and it's okay, I'm willing to look at it. And then to whatever degree possible, I walk, I move, I live through the pain, and with startling regularity, the pain begins to dissipate and disappear. So it's a, he has books on the subject, and I used to own and watch his videos, educational video about it. But I highly recommend that to people because it's transformed my life to actually put this into practice with my history of back injuries, et cetera. And so that's all I have to offer.
Cool. Powerful. And if I remember correctly, Dr. Sarno informs us that all it takes is a 5% reduction in oxygen flow to a cell for the cell to be in excruciating pain. And he has the best definition, you know, as a back surgeon. This guy's in his 90s, pretty amazing guy to come up with this. And what he in essence says is that the brain is smart enough, or the mind is smart enough, that when I don't want to deal with something and I don't want to own it, and I have what appears to be a physical injury, I can take my emotional trauma and hide it in the physical injury and pretend it's all about the physical. And it's not about the physical. But his definition of back pain is that back pain is unconscious rage. And he's just so exactly right on. Mind energy becomes flesh. And so to engage in that healing conversation, understand the principles and use the tools is so profoundly healing that it's amazing. Well, Jeannie, any thoughts for you or anything happening in the chat room or any hands up in the phone queue?
Well, there are no hands up, and I was just chatting with Michelle about Ari coming in this next week for Lansing workshops and to go over the food list. She thought it was a great idea. And so Donna's in there with me now. Michelle's actually back in her car en route to East Lansing. But I was while you were talking about Sarno, I looked up and there's actually a website, and I'll put the link in the notes for today. And they list 10 things out of his book that's called Healing Back Pain, the Mind-Body Connection. And the first one is it's not just physical. It's squashed, stuffed, buried, and ignored and repressed emotions. The role of oxygen deprivation, the unconscious mind, complicating factor, the power of distraction. Change pages here. But it's pretty cool then. So I'm going to put a link to this, but you can also order his book on Amazon. And my computer's slow, flipping pages here. But anyway, I'll go ahead and list those in the notes. And so people can click on that and read more about it. But, yes, he's very insightful on some of the same things we're talking about, the conditioning behind the pain, the influence of personality. It starts with awareness. Healing starts with awareness. Education is a key factor, and get back to the physical. So you're welcome, Michelle. She just sent me a text. Anyway, so nobody has their hand up. So we've got several people in online. Press 1. You'll be first in line without waiting. And welcome to the chat room, Donna. She just popped in. And that's about all that's going on this end. You're not coming through, Michael. You must be muted.
I was muted, excuse me. I was just going to send Donna my love, and Jeannie was sharing a little bit about her conversation with you yesterday, and we certainly hold you in the space of love as you deal with the passing of your son, and the whole community is here to hold you in our hearts and to hold him in our hearts as he moves to the next level of his existence and what his eternal life is about. So we definitely hold that space. So we've covered some pretty deep thoughts here, and I know that if Tim, if Jeannie were in your local town at your local library or university or church or school or whatever, and we finished this conversation and walked down off the platform right now at this stage in the conversation, I know that you would be walking over to me or to Tim or to Jeannie with a question. You would probably say, I just have a quick question, because that's pretty much what people say, is it's always just a quick question. And, you know, we don't need for your question to be a quick one. We're here to really fill in the gaps and fill in the details and fill in the understanding of this process of healing.
and what it looks like. So if you'd be walking over to Tim or myself or Jeannie with that question, you know, being on the radio, you might think, oh, my voice will be shaky, or, you know, I might flub it a little bit. So make it okay if you flub the words a little bit or your voice is shaky, so what? And go ahead and ask your question. That's what we're here to engage in and to bring the deepest refinements of this conversation about healing forward that we possibly can. And so push one, and we'll be engaging in that conversation. Tim had shared a link back, oh, probably a year ago now. There was an NPR conversation that took place between a psychiatrist, a medical doctor who had gotten into some pretty severe disease states, and went to his colleagues, and nobody had an answer. Nobody could do anything for him for healing. He was going to die. And in this conversation on NPR with his psychiatrist friend, they talk about the principles of healing and the things that are required. And as a medical doctor, interestingly enough, the top thing on his list for healing didn't have anything to do with pharmaceuticals. The top thing on his list for healing was community, was the presence of love, was forgiveness, the real healers. Yes, those other things treat. And treatment can block awareness of disease energies. But sooner or later, each individual has to become responsible for what they're experiencing. And in that responsibility, as you begin to remove what never belonged, then the whole game begins to change. You begin to function differently. And that's what we're here to support. I'm not recalling just offhand, Dr. Tim, the link to that show. I know I've got it
if
here.
You
I'm
go
looking
to
for
on,
it. But you happen to...
If you go to OnBeing, O-N-B-E-I-N-G, onbeing.org, O-R-G. And once you're there, that's a website run by Krista Tippett and her foundation, then you can search for functional medicine. And that was a discussion on functional medicine, probably in early December of 2015. But it's still available on the archives.
Cool. Awesome.
Can we have a hand up?
Let's say hello.
828, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi there. This is Magda, Missouri.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. So what I really would like is a mind shifter on dealing with high blood pressure. It has gone to the extent where it's very, very high now, and I actually am on blood pressure medication, which I've resisted for lots and lots of years.
Ouch.
And yeah, I know. And so I want to do what I need to heal what I need to heal so that I can normalize my blood pressure and my heart rhythm and live without medication. So what I've got, I know it comes up all the time. I've done worksheets on this, and I need to dig more. That's why I'm asking for a mind shifter. My family genetics, boy, mother, father, both of their siblings and their parents and probably grandparents, even though I don't know about that, all had some sort of heart problems, strokes, high blood pressure, arrhythmias, irregular heart rate, a variety of all of that. And so if you can think of a mind shifter that can help me dig deeper, I would really appreciate it, Michael. Or Jeannie.
Well, if I heard your words correctly, I think you probably meant to say a regular heart beats. But if I heard you correctly, I believe you said irregular heart breaks. Is that accurate?
I heard her say rate, heart rate.
Heart rate.
Oh,
okay.
Heart rate. Okay. Okay,
go.
It sounded like breaks from here. So so then, you know, it might be worth looking at situations in your life where there have been heartbreaks, situations where your heart is on the line in relationship and communication with others. Is there any kind of unresolved heartbreak in your family system that you know of? You know, looking back at mom or dad, and or with self that perhaps hasn't been fully explored and worked through. And I'm asking you just to kind of tap into the exact energy that might help open this, support this.
With my parents, because they had regular daily and sometimes multiple times a day, they were very much into verbal arguments. I think there was heartbreak going on all the time, pretty consistently. And I was very much invested in trying to fix it. So I think my heart was then broken repeatedly when it didn't work, and I found, you know, believe myself to be a failure. What's coming up for me, though, Michael, is more like I'm doomed because of my genetics, because everyone in my family, that's what comes up, everyone in my family has had these problems. How could I not have them no matter what I heal emotionally?
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty predominant.
I think that's the key. I think that's the key. There's what I was looking for. So how about the mind shifter then?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
So got your pen ready for a mind shifter?
I sure do.
So how about I am blessed with genetic challenges of the heart?
Blessed with genetic challenges of the heart.
That inspire me to explore deeply.
That inspire me, tears coming up,
to explore deeply. What's coming up?
Tears.
So let's breathe with those.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that part of the mind shifter? What's coming up?
No. I was asking the question.
Yeah.
So breathe into those tears. Breathe into that. What's happening?
Incredible sadness. I'm feeling a lot of sadness for everyone in my bloodline.
Is it sadness about, it sounds like what you're facing is hopelessness. And
yes.
If you look back and think as a child, watching your family, watching your parents, is that the hopelessness?
Yes. Yes. Definitely. That's an overarching feeling here of hopelessness. no matter what I heal, I'm still going to have these same genes. I'm doomed, you know, because of my genes. And everyone before me was doomed as well.
Yeah. So remember that your genes are simply information molecules that are changeable. To access them is to change them.
Okay.
So you want to read me what you've got so far?
Sure. I am blessed with genetic challenges of the heart that inspire me to explore deeply.
The healing of the hopelessness that pervades my family.
The healing of hopelessness that pervades my family.
Just breathe all the way into that. Just go deeper. You can access these genes and probably that sense of hopelessness and helplessness is going to be, seem to be so overwhelming because your generations didn't know what to do with it when it came up, but you do. You've got the tools and you can keep bringing in that presence of love as you touch into that depth of hopelessness and helplessness. And hopelessness, you know, in regard to something like that, would obviously leave one in a state of such fear and tension that it would have to constrict everything in blood vessels, resulting
yes.
in that kind of increase in blood pressure.
Yes.
And so I suspect as you can forgive as to your hopelessness and recognize, this is doable. I wasn't given a death sentence when I was given this body and this family system. I was given an opportunity to develop the skills that didn't exist in my family system. And as I do, I can share those with the whole family system, even those who've passed and have gone before me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
And allow yourself to soften with them.
I'm sorry, say that again, please. Softening.
And just allow yourself to soften.
Yeah.
As you tap into all of that, what's happening in the back of your neck?
I'm not feeling any difference there.
No. Okay.
No, I'm feeling a difference in my chest. A great deal of energy movement, excitement,
yeah.
Relief. Release.
Cool.
Wow, very cool.
Well, we join you in that release and those wake-up sheets that are going to be done that will clean up the rest of this.
Yes. Oh, that takes me back to sadness. Wow. Oh, this is going to be good.
Next layer.
Yes.
All right, dear heart, we're down to the last few seconds, so I'm just going to say thank you for that question. It's awesome, and we hold base. And for you, for everybody else, to have the best year yet of your eternal lives, an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.